Amen. Today I want us to look and talk about conquering your Jericho. I believe in life, as we go through life, we each come to our own Jericho. And what do I mean by our own Jericho? But the story of Jericho in the Bible, God had given them the promised land. And as they went to that promised land, there was a walled city called Jericho. And they were to go in and they were to take that city. And today, that's what I want us to look at. But I want you to begin thinking, maybe in your mind, what is your Jericho? I believe we all have something that when we come up against it, it makes us feel small. There is a task that's ahead of us. Some of it may be school. I remember when I went back to school to get my degree at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, it was a little daunting. That was a big task, a new place I had never been to, a new obstacles that were going to come up in my life. Maybe it's starting a career, starting work. Maybe it's just getting through life. Some of you in here, looking at many of you, have lost a loved one, lost a spouse. And there's a Jericho that you face every day as you wake up and you go through that day with just you and the Lord. Maybe there's a Jericho within a family. We each have some form of Jericho. And we know that when we approach a Jericho, when we approach something in our life, there's always a couple of ways of handling that. And that's what I want us to look at to do. There's two ways of handling it. We can handle it as we just go on and we think that we know the best and we're going to do our way. And then there's a way that we can approach it and do it with someone's help, maybe God's way. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The first way I want us to understand it, we'll see in Scripture, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 13, we're going to cover quite a amount of Scripture and time this morning as we look at the life of the Israelites and them going in to conquer their Jericho. And the first way that we can conquer your Jericho is with your own strength, with your strength. You can go in and you can do it. God had told the Israelites, you are going to go to Jericho. I'm going to give you the promised land. And when he says that, the way he says it, it's written in the statement form of, I have given you Jericho. So the Israelites go up, and the first thing we're going to see is they're going to look at taking Jericho, conquering Jericho, this fortified city, and they're going to look at it with their own eyes and in their own strength. And there's three things that you see in your outline there that happen if you take Jericho with your own strength. And the first one is there is fear. When you go in your own strength, you will have fear. Let's take a look at Numbers 13, verse 31. And this is taking place just to get you caught up. Israel has come out of Egypt. They've been to Mount Sinai. They've been given the Ten Commandments. Now, God has approached them right to the border of the land of Canaan that he was giving them. Their first city is Jericho. They're standing right there on the cusp. God said, I've given it to you. You need to go in and take it. And he says, Moses is the leader. God told Moses, I need you to get some men who are and send them in, and they're to go look. And they're to go look and see if Jericho, see if the promised land is not what I told you it is, that it's flowing with milk and honey. It's ready for you to go in. Cities are already built. The produce, everything there is great. All you got to do is go in and take it. So these spies, as we call them, have gone in. They've looked around. They've come back. They've called the assembly. And now they're fixing to give a report of what they saw. Look at verse 31. Of Numbers 13. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Look at verse 33. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. That would be giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They've gone into this land of Canaan. They've gone over to Jericho. They spied it all out. Matter of fact, it said they even cut down a cluster of grapes. How many of you have ever been in the grocery store and you get that bag of grapes, and when you take it out, there's four or five clusters. You can hold them up and see them. Some good, juicy grapes. It tells us in Scripture just a little bit before that, when they cut the grapes, the cluster was so big it took two men to carry it. That's what God was giving them. That's what God told them to go in and do. But they went in their own strength, and that became fear for them. Because they said, yes, it is good. They testified to that. But it said the city is fortified. It's got big walls in it. There's giants in there. And oh, when we looked at them, we just felt like mere little grasshoppers, and they're just going to stomp us down. There's no way that we can take them. They got part of the story right. There's no way that we could take them. But what did God say that he had given it to them? But because they were going in on their own strength, it brought fear upon them. They're going in and they're looking at their capabilities and what they can do. In church, when we approach our own Jericho and we look at it with our own eyes, it will bring fear. Because when God is calling us to do something, God is calling us to what? Do something that's a God-sized project. And without him, it brings fear. But also that if we go and we go to conquer your Jericho with your strength, there becomes disobedience. Disobedience happens. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 14, verse 39. Moses, they had come in, they had rebelled against, they said they're not going to go, they were afraid. And then Moses told him this that God had said, verse 39, "And when Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. And in the morning, however, they rose up early and went out to the ridge of the hill country, saying, 'Here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised.'" There become disobedience because when they refused to go, we read in the rest of 13 and leading up to this in 14 that God had told them, "You're not going in." He says, matters of fact, you're going to, all of you who are of age are going to die. None of you are going to see it. So number one, there was disobedience because of the fear. They refused to go in. And then God said, "You're not going to go in. You're going to turn around and go another way." And they step up and say, "Hey, let's just go in. God, we've sinned, but now we're ready. We're just going to go in and we're going to take it." Moses says, "No, you're not, because you'll be defeated." But they were insistent on doing it their way, and their way led to disobedience. Now, anytime that we're up against our Jericho and we try it on our own strength, we have that fear that comes in. And when we look at it with our eyes and that fear comes in, it leads to disobedience. And any time that there is disobedience, what happens? But there are consequences. The Israelites had consequences to face because of their fear and because of their disobedience. Look at 14, verse 32. Chapter 14, verse 32. Moses is speaking from the Lord. It says, "But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness. And they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition." There were consequences. The consequences, first of all, was because of their disobedience, they would not inherit the promised land. It talks about those who were able to serve, probably those of the age that were able to make decisions in the community, those who chose to be disobedient, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. When Moses told them to go, said, "You're not going to see it. Matters of fact, you're going to die out in this wilderness, and you're not even going to see it, because for 40 years you're going to wander out in this desert." God turned them around, and he began to lead them through the next 40 years. And we see God said that the consequence also would be that his opposition would be against them. God protected. Their clothes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. But they began to die off in rapid number. Every day, thousands would die until all of those of age had died off. And for 40 years, they wandered out in the desert, aimlessly searching and seeking for what God had promised them, God had given them. But because they used their eyes and they looked at their Jericho in their strength, they allowed fear to come upon them. And because of that fear, they allowed disobedience to step into their lives, and they had consequences because of that. But aren't you glad that there's not just one option of doing things? There's multiple ways. And there is also the second, that you can conquer Jericho with God's strength. Now, church, let me just tell you there, you probably already know this, with God's strength, anything's possible. Amen. When God says he's going to do something, you can trust God. God is faithful that he will follow through with that. What would it have been if Israel would have been obedient and they would have went in and they all would have enjoyed the promised land? But let's take a look at what happens when we come up to a Jericho, because we all have them in our life. If we come up against it instead of in our strength, but in God's strength, you can face it with boldness and courage. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Understanding now, we have just spent and gone through 40 years, a little over 40 years. Because here they are, 40 years has passed. They're back to the promised land. They're standing on the other side of the river. The promised land's over. They've gone in once again and looked at it. But there is more than I believe than just the Jericho city fortified walls for Joshua. Joshua now has to face his own Jericho, because Moses has been the leader of all these people. And Moses now in history, in our point in scripture, Moses has died. And now Joshua is being called by God to step up and to be the leader. Can you imagine what Joshua might have felt, being that he is now called to be the leader and they're fixing to step into a new era? That would maybe be like being over a company and you've got to go build a new building. Or maybe something's happening, but this leadership role has changed. So the first thing we see going in God's strength is God calls Joshua, and he says this. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. God told him, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land." God said, Joshua, you're the one that's fixing to lead them over, and you will give them possession of it. You're going in my strength. He said, be strong and be courageous. Joshua, I've called you. You're going to be the leader of my people. Be strong and courageous. Why is God saying that? Because God's saying that I'm with you, and that you will not fail, and that you will have success. be strong and be courageous. What is it in your life? What is your Jericho that God's leading you up to? It's possible. Is it something that you're fighting in your life? Is it a decision that you're having to make? Is it something that's changing? Is it a career change? Is it a lifestyle change? What is it that is a Jericho that when you look at it in your own eyes, it can bring fear and trembling? I believe that God gave this to Joshua, but I believe the aspect comes to us. What is God calling us to do? He says, be strong. Be courageous. Be bold. You can do it. I am with you. You're going in my strength. And when you come up to your Jericho, church, and you approach it in God's strength, and you're bold and courageous, it doesn't lead to disobedience as fear did. It leads to obedience. When you understand that you have the boldness and the courage of God going with you, then you're able to be obedient to what he says. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Joshua's being obedient. God's told him to go, so he begins to prepare the people. Joshua 1, verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. He says, you're going in and you're going to possess that land. So Joshua, in obedience, prepares the people. He immediately responded to what God was saying in boldness and in courage. And then they went into action. Look, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. They're obedient. When you see it move, it's time to go. We're going. We're not staying back. We're not in fear. We have the boldness that God is going with us. And they went into action. But I want to inform you this, that they went into action in light of God's commandments, even when they did not make sense. Let me repeat that. Sometimes when you're going to your Jericho and you're going in the boldness and the courage of God, and you know that he has sent you to this Jericho and you're being obedient to him, you're going to have to be obedient even when it doesn't make sense, because you're going on a God-sized mission with a God-sized power in boldness and courage. And if you could make sense of it, then you would probably be able to do it on your own. What am I talking about? But God told them in chapter 6 that they're to cross this river. Now they're standing there, the Israelite nation, with all of this water flowing in front of them, might recall something from their past. Remember, they were stuck at the Red Sea. But Joshua said, when the Levitical priests go, you go. And he told the Levitical priests to go. And they're watching. I can imagine that this would be me. Imagine the Levitical priests. They're wearing robes, probably long down around their ankles. They've got all this stuff on them. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. And you want me, Joshua, to step into this water that's flowing? I don't know if you've ever tried to swim in pants, but that's not easy, much less a long flowing robe. And Joshua, you want me to step in it? But they were obedient because they had the boldness and the courage of God. And they walked up, and as soon as they put their foot in the water stopped. And once again, they crossed over on dry land. Now they've crossed over the river, and standing in front of them, there it is, big as day, neon sign, flashing lights, Jericho. A city that's fortified. Today we can see forts. It had walls around it. It had giants that were living in it. And there it is, standing right in front of them. How are we going to take this city? They're bigger than we are. They had boldness and courage because of God's strength. They obeyed God, even though it didn't make sense. You remember from our children's story this morning, God said, okay, Israel, here it is, your test of obedience. There's a walled city that you're fixing to take. It's filled with giants. And what I want you to do is each morning for 6 days, I want you to get up, not say a word, and walk around the city one time and go back to your camp for the rest of the day. Really? What good's that going to do? Have you ever seen a battle that they didn't cry, they didn't yell, they didn't do all these things? You just go and you walk around the city once quietly and go back. Now, Israel, on the seventh day, I want you to go in and I want you to walk around the city seven times quietly. And then when Joshua gives the command and the priests blow the trumpet, I want you to yell. Okay, God, doesn't make sense, but I'm going to be obedient to what you're calling me to do. And they went and they marched around the city once, twice, three times, four times, nothing's happening. Five times, six times. Okay, God, nothing's happening. We're going to go seventh day, and they go around seven times. And because they had boldness and courage, and they were obedient, they had victory. When they went around that seventh time on the seventh day, and they shouted and the trumpet blew, the wall fell down and they went in and took over. What did the Israelites do to win the battle? Obedience, boldness, and courage, because God said, I'm giving you the battle. And because of that, they received their victory. Look at chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 20. Chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 20. So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. The wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. The wall fell flat. They didn't touch the wall. It fell flat. They received victory because they went in God's strength and not their own strength. When we go to fight and conquer our Jericho, we have the choice of going in our own strength and having fear, disobedience, and failure, or we can go with God's strength, we can have boldness, we can have courage, we can be obedient even when it doesn't make sense to us, and we can have the consequence of victory. You're going to have a consequence either way. You can either have the fear, the disobedience, and failure, or you can have boldness, courage, obedience, and victory. Pastor that I used to love to hear and still listen to often has passed away. Many of you probably heard the name Dr. Charles Stanley. He had a quote that he was known for saying, and I love this quote, and I believe this is what the Israelites did. He would say, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Amen. If we are obedient to God, We don't have to worry about the consequences. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us. When we're obedient, we can leave the consequences to God. And let me tell you, church, on the authority of God's word, we see it all throughout it, that when you are going to conquer your Jericho, go in God's power, and you will have victory. Amen. That's the great news of God. He loves us. He's with us. He goes with us. And our theme for this year is we can trust God. You can trust God regardless of whatever you're facing. If you go in God's strength, there will be victory. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you this morning. Father, for your love. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you show us, Father, and very clear in your scripture that there's two ways, Father, that we can face our Jerichos. Lord, we can face them in our own strength. God, we can face them in your strength. God, when you call us to a Jericho, may we be bold and courageous. May we go in your strength. May we be obedient in your strength. And Father, would you show us the victory? Father, as we obey you, Father, we leave the consequences to you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and most holy name of your Son, Jesus.